Welcome to the February 15th Petaluma Healthcare District Board Meeting audio.
Meeting called to order. Start with the call to order. This is, first of all, we'd like to do roll call, please.
Roll call.
Board members?
Director Nero here. Director Tobias?
Here.
Director Hempel?
Here.
Director Nelson?
Here.
Director Dufour?
Here.
Staff, Ramona here.
Andrew here.
Ben here.
Okay. There's a call for conflict. Seeing none, who would like to read the mission and vision?
I'll read the mission and vision. The mission of the Petaluma Healthcare District is to improve the health and well-being of our community through leadership, advocacy, support, partnerships, and education. Envision a healthy community and equitable access to health and wellness services for all.
Thank you, Ramona. Okay, so I want to just clarify some protocols here. Obviously, the board values public comment, and we want to convey that although the board members cannot discuss items that are not on the agenda, and they, but we will listen carefully and appreciate and value the input of the public. There's two opportunities to address the board meeting. The first is through public comment. And you're invited to make the comments. You'll do so using these cards, and then we'll call your name, and we'll also do it through Zoom and Zoom in person and written, and we have some written. It's 3 minutes a person. Talk fast. The board's scheduled to receive no more than 15 minutes of public comment, so we may go a little longer than that. If we may ask you to select a spokesperson, but it's okay. The second opportunity for public input is before the board discusses an act on a specific agenda item. The Petaluma Healthcare District is governed by a publicly elected five-member board of directors that serve Southern Sonoma County. The meetings are held on third Wednesdays. You guys all know that. Copies of the agenda are public information, and we reserve the right to take action wherever legally appropriate on any item on the agenda in any order. If you have any special needs because of a disability that makes it difficult for you to participate in the meeting, you're required to act, or you require assistance or auxiliary aids to participate in the meeting, let us know. Okay, we have items on the consent calendar. This would be February 15th, regular board meeting agenda, January 18th, regular board meeting minutes, January 25th, special board meeting minutes, February 2nd, special board meeting minutes, December 31st, unaudited district financial statements. Do we have a motion?
I'll move.
And I'll second. A vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Approved. Okay, public comment on non-agendized items. Most of you guys are on the, you know, you're here for the reason for the agenda, but if you have something else. Seeing none. Okay, so we have the hospital community board update. First thing we do.
That's me.
Yes, Jeffrey.
So the last hospital board meeting was focused primarily on policy reviews, which came through, and it's an ongoing process, which is quite a bit. Then there's mostly medical staff issues, so the medical staff reports, and then privileges that were discussed in the grant. So it wasn't very outside of those items for much that was going on. There was a little bit of review of our previous meeting, and besides that, people will be more interested in what's coming up next.
Thank you. There's no public comment on that. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the NorCal Health Connect notification pursuant to the purchase agreement of the intent to close OB services at Petaluma Valley Hospital.
So through the chair, we're going to have Lorraine Driscoll, who is the Chief Executive Officer at Providence, address some questions that were submitted and are part of the board package. And I think that there's handouts available that have the questions and the written comments. So she'll lead with that, and then we will then open it up for public comments, read the written comment, and then take comment from members of the community who are online.
Thank you. So our position hasn't changed. We're requesting that the board consider collaboratively working with us to close the Family Birth Center at Petaluma because we do not have ability of provider coverage, both OB and anesthesia. We're asking that consideration continue. Provided answers to the questions submitted, and I'm happy to answer if there's questions about those questions, but our position has not changed.
All right, so public comments. We'll start with, I'll go ahead and read first. This is from Mother's Care, dated January 30th, signed by Allison Murphy, MSC. The announcement that Providence intends to close the Family Birthing Center at Petaluma Valley Hospital is concerning and will leave the largest population center in Sonoma County outside of Santa Rosa without a local hospital-based birth center. This is potentially dangerous to the health and safety of the people who are pregnant, their children, families, and our community. As mental health providers dedicated to treating and preventing perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, we know firsthand the importance of stable and accessible OBGYN services. Since starting mother care services in 2013, we've seen a dramatic rise in the needs and severity of symptoms for people dealing with perinatal mental health issues. Closing the only local birth center in Petaluma will create unnecessary barriers to adequate reproductive health care and will create another barrier to the access of care for the less resource in our community. It will contribute to an already increasing level of stress for people giving birth or planning to give birth in the future. Additionally, this proposed closure is also a violation of the agreement Providence made 2 years ago when its subsidiary NorCal Health Connect purchased PBH from the Petaluma Healthcare District. Mother's Care Perinatal Support Services urges the Petaluma Healthcare District Board of Directors to reject the proposed closure of Petaluma Valley Hospital Birthing Center. The next one comes from Dr. Mike Witt. The birthing center at our local Petaluma Valley Hospital is a critical resource in our community. Both Chris Sampson and Amelia articles in last week's Argus made excellent points regarding the importance of keeping this core service available for our local families. This is particularly important to those who are most vulnerable and have least access to good healthcare options. With this in mind, I believe it is important to cite a bit of history. In the late 70s and early 80s, a community group in West Marin had established a three-site full-service health center on the Marin County coast in Point Reyes, Salinas, and Sunset Beach. Because of the prominence of agriculture in those communities, a large segment of our patient mix in those communities were farm workers and their families. These were young families. A large and important part of our work with them has been and continues to be for pregnancy care. Importantly, this has included attendance at their births as well as newborn care. We became acutely aware of the need to have quick access to a hospital for many of these birthing moms. Since the large majority of these families lived and worked on ranches between West Marin and Petaluma, PVH was the clear choice as a safe and accessible place for them to give birth to their babies. With this in mind, a significant opportunity developed back in 1981. The Redwood Family Practice in Petaluma, a small family practice near the hospital, was threatened with closing as they lost their physician. We were approached by their staff at the same time that it became clear that we needed to have clinicians working near to the hospital, in particular for quick access to birthing mothers. That practice evolved to become Petaluma Health Center in 1994. Over a generation later, the health center continues to be an essential piece of Petaluma's healthcare landscape, caring for many birthing mothers and their babies. Closing the hospital's birthing center would require prolonged travel to either San Rafael or to Santa Rosa and create untenable new and necessary risk for those mothers and their babies, many of whom would have their risk for birth-related problems dramatically increased without access that our local hospital birthing center provides. Petaluma Valley Hospital's birthing center must stay open. Thank you. And the last one, it is signed by 72 people. I believe they're called G Street Group. And they wrote a letter to the editor, so without reading the whole body of it, I'll read the letter. That was the Providence St. Joseph's proposed closure of the Family Birth Center at Petaluma Valley Hospital represents a repudiation of their commitment to women's health in our community and is in direct violation of the purchase agreement to which our citizenry voted for based on their assurances in 2020. Presented as an issue of safety, in quotes, for women giving birth is a falsehood, as there is and would be nothing unsafe about birth at PVH. But their failure to offer a fair and reasonable contract for birth-related anesthesia has led to the current crisis episode. Physicians and midwives safely delivered babies at PVH for decades without the use of epidural anesthesia. The existence of a competent family-centered birthing unit in Petaluma has long been a thorn in the side of St. Joseph's, and the only existence of a contractual obligation to maintain the local unit prevented its disappearance 25 years ago while the hospital was leased to them. What Providence St. Joseph's has attempted to disguise in this maneuver is their need to prop up and restore their own obstetrical unit at Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital, which was down on staff until a recent agreement with Petaluma and other obstetricians and midwives to provide adequate obstetric call services. They cannot maintain their existence as a regional trauma center, and the income that center provides without a functional OB unit being present at that Santa Rosa Hospital. PVH's birth center closure is a cyclical calculation on their part and violates their expressed core values of dignity, excellence, and integrity as they seek to abandon women's health in an attempt to strengthen their bottom line. They are putting corporate profit for the health of families in our community, and they are blatantly violating their commitments and our trust. Eric Holmberg, MD. So Zoom is, we'll do Zoom, and then if you guys have cards, we only have one so far, but do we pass off? Does everyone have a card who
the
wants
speaker
one?
Cards are available back in the corner, so what you'll need to do is fill out the speaker cards, and if you can just put them on the table closest up here, then Andrew will pick them up after we do the Zoom, people who are on electronically. Thanks, Jim.
And then, so Ben, would you like to read them?
Yes. So for the virtual meeting, if you are joining the board meeting virtually and want to provide public comment, please at this point raise your hand. You'll be called upon. We have no hands raised.
Okay, so the next one is the cards. So this is...
And for those who are speaking, if you want to come forward so that they can see you on the Zoom, that would be great. And Benjamin or Ben is going to be holding up a time card so you know when you've got 30 seconds left. Thank you.
Okay, the first one we have is Jim. You just introduce yourself because I don't know the names anymore.
Hi, my name is Jim Gorlick. I'm a nurse at Petaluma Valley Hospital. Been there for 20-something years. Since this got announced a month ago, I have spent a lot of time talking with nurses and doctors and midwives and community members, and I know we came to you and pointed out just how dangerous this plan was, and I have an even deeper understanding of how dangerous this is and how this is not in the best interest of our community as a whole. I think most of what needs to have been said has been said again and again and again, and so I am hopeful that you are unanimously going to vote this down, and I also have spent a lot of time talking with the community, and I wanted to express to you that we are in this fight with you. If this goes to a fight, if this is the direction it's going, we will help fundraise. We will help with lawyer fees, lawyers themselves, whatever it takes. This is where this community needs to come together and to protect us as a whole. And especially one of the things that really spoke to me over the last couple of weeks is just the impact that this is going to have on our lower income, lower resource. And this is your mission. This is Providence's mission, is to make us a healthier community. And this is an awesome opportunity. You have an opportunity to change course and to invest in us and to make us healthier in general. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next person is Janice Cater's office.
Just urging you to vote this down. And this is our community. We were promised that we'd have an OB. And basically, I stand with Jim and I stand with all the nurses. And I will follow their lead. And I would like to invite you. I do a radio show on Friday. The nurses have been on, and we'd love to have you on. Okay. But this is a town of 60,000 people, but it's also a bigger circumference. And it's really important that we have a hospital with full services. And this seems to be more of a shell game of finding we have money for elective surgery, we have money for this, for anesthesiologists, but yet we don't for OB. And women are under attack in this country, and we don't need to be under attack by Providence. So please, I urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Johnson.
Good evening. Thanks for having the opportunity to speak. I've been practicing in this town for 30 years. I live in Nevada. As a reference point, Nevada is just slightly under the population of Petaluma. Same thing happened in Nevada 20 years ago. They used to have a community hospital. OB was consolidated at Marin General. Hasn't been a problem. I realize it's not a popular opinion to have, but I just want to let people know that it has happened previously in the next county, same population, and it's worked out fine. I personally would like to see the resources spent in other parts of the hospital. We have a fantastic hospital, love working there, love taking care of the patients there, and I'd like to see that resource being spent in other areas.
Do we have any more cards? Go ahead, since you're
on.
Sure.
Okay, this is Tyler.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I don't know what it is. My name is Tyler. I work with the National Union of Healthcare Workers. We represent close to 2,000 Providence employees from Humboldt County, Sonoma County, Napa County, and in Southern California. What I want to say is, like, I don't think this is an either-or situation. What we're unfortunately experiencing here is something that many communities, especially rural communities all across the country and across California, are experiencing, which is large healthcare companies coming in and finding ways to consolidate services to maximize profits. The reality is in the financials of Providence is that it is a very, very, very financially healthy and profitable company. Even though it is technically a nonprofit, it has $10 billion, that's billion with a B, in unrestricted cash reserves that it invests venture capital style in investments and startups. Those monies could be used in our community and in other communities that Providence is profiting off of all across California. I think it's important what we're doing here and standing up and saying these are services, and not just OB services, but services all across the hospital are important and deserve to be invested in. And what we need is an operator that will operate this hospital in a way that promotes care, that promotes investment, and ultimately makes it a good place to work, a good place to receive care, and something that should be treated as a pillar of the community that's worth investing in. It's not an either or. I'm really glad that the conversation provoked. I'm hopeful that we can move forward in a positive way. I appreciate everyone spending their time. We're going to continue fighting to make sure that this OB stays open, not just through the duration of the agreement that Providence signed, but past that date as well. Thank you.
Oh, you're not supposed to applaud, you guys. She said it.
Stop them now. Let them do it all along.
Friends, yeah. Here.
I ran out of sight, sat on this board when we made the contract with St. Joe's Providence. I didn't really intend to say anything tonight, but I guess I just want to say how disappointing it is that we are in this position. We worked so hard to make sure there was an OB department for our community, because I think that we all know how important it is for all the reasons that have been said. I know there are two sides to everything, and I will definitely try to listen, but I do think it's, I think that for most of us here, it's very disappointing that we have come to this in only 2 years. So I hope we can listen and move forward.
Thanks, Erin. Erin Halverson.
Yeah, my name is Erin Halverson. I'm a family doctor. I spoke last time. And I think most things have been said already, right? I live in Petaluma. Two of my children were born at Petaluma Valley Hospital. I'm not from Petaluma, but they're from Petaluma. We need this. This is the best thing for our community. And if the board exists to do the best thing for our community, for health equity of our patients, like, this is the best. I think it's clear this is the best thing for us as the city of Petaluma, for our patients who live in Petaluma and the surrounding areas. I think this wasn't a problem and didn't need to be a problem if, like, you know, small increases in pay had been given as was fair over the years, for example, to the anesthesiologists and to the OBs. And it wasn't a problem. It didn't really come to a head until Memorial. I think everyone knows this, right? Like, this wasn't a problem, except that it became a problem at Memorial. They couldn't find OB doctors, so suddenly, like, how are we going to fix the Memorial problem? We're just going to close Petaluma, and I can take their OBs. And it's just, I feel like it's not the right thing for our community, and it's not the right thing for our patients, and there has to be a different way to solve the problem that Memorial has, and it doesn't need to be the Petaluma's problem just because they have this problem. So I feel for them, and their difficulties in finding OBGYNs, but we have something really special here, which is different than a big hospital. It's a small community birthing center where family doctors and midwives are delivering patients, and we're caring for these children and their families throughout their lives. And that's a special thing, and it's worth preserving. I think it's good for the patients, and it's good for us as providers, and I think I just stand with everything that was said before and all of the nurses, that this is important to fight for, and we need to do it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any more cards? Okay. That closes, and then we don't have anyone else online, right? Okay. All right, so that closes public comment. And then now we go to board comments. John,
I'm here.
Jonathan, do you want to go next?
Sure. I have a few questions for Lorene.
Okay.
So just based on the review of the responses that you had provided, I have a handful of questions, Lorene. Thank you for providing the written responses. First is, you indicated that you didn't negotiate.
Jonathan, can you wait a minute? We got to turn you up. And, okay. And I think it's important to give everybody context. Jonathan is the consultant that worked with Petaluma Healthcare District to negotiate the contract with Providence Health or NorCal Health Connect. And so he's deeply entrenched in the language and the work that we did in order to get to where we were with the contract. Okay, go ahead, Jonathan.
All right, and I will try to speak as loudly as I can. Lorene, you indicated that you did not negotiate with the existing CRNA group and did not inquire as to why they were terminating the contract. If you were genuinely interested in securing permanent anesthesia coverage for the Family Birthing Center, can you explain why there was no dialogue with the existing group?
They provided us a termination notice. That was the occasion. They had what they reported to us as a change in their staffing, and they were consolidating to the Queen. They have two coverage programs, both Petaluma and the Queen, and they chose to consolidate their program to the Queens to staff it. That was the communication that they provided us.
But no one followed up to see if there was a way to negotiate an permanent extension of the contract. You just accepted the termination.
They didn't offer a negotiation option.
Okay. All right. I understand. You indicated that you had issued an RFP in January after you had given notice to the district of your intent to close the Family Birthing Center. And additionally, you actually received notice of termination, as you described, in November of last year. If you were genuinely interested in securing permanent anesthesia coverage for the unit, can you explain why you waited until January to issue an RFP?
Because we were working with our current anesthesia provider at our other site to provide coverage for us.
Okay, thank you. Can you describe how many organizations were sent the RFP and how many responded?
I would have to ask my contracting person exactly how many. At least six. Several national companies. I know Marin was one locally. At least six. We've had two responses that we're evaluating.
Yeah, I've actually spoken with one of the groups who responded, who indicated that they were willing to provide permanent 24/7, 365 anesthesia coverage. And they also indicated a willingness to negotiate terms. Can you talk about how you're planning to respond to the providers who answered
the
RFP?
Like I did in the letter, that we're evaluating it. And we just, the date was the 14th of February to close the RFP, so. We will evaluate all proposals.
And based on that evaluation, if there are qualified CRNAs who are interested in providing permanent anesthesia services, that would eliminate your reason for closing the FBC, would it not?
Well, potentially, but we've also received notification from the OB coverage group that they're no longer going to provide coverage as of May 4th.
Okay, I understand. So you indicated several times in your response that NorCal doesn't directly employ physicians, but it is true that Providence has close affiliations with so-called friendly PCs in a structure that provides significant influence over the medical groups while allowing Providence to comply with the corporate practice of medicine law. Is that correct?
I'm not going to respond to that question.
And does Providence or NorCal manage any physician practices?
Again, I explained our relationship with physician practices in our response, and that is my response.
Okay, thank you. Does NorCal or Providence currently provide payments to the foundation or its medical group for call coverage of OB services at Petaluma Valley Hospital or Santa Rosa Hospital, Memorial?
We have contracted services for OB coverage at both hospitals.
Thank you. We so you've heard several people indicate that the OB group in Santa Rosa has fallen apart, and that is a principal factor here in underlying the reasons for redirecting OB coverage from Petaluma to Santa Rosa. Is that correct?
That's the public's perception. That is not a correct statement.
I'm asking you, is the public perception correct?
No, we do not direct our physicians where they can practice. But we contract for services. We don't tell them where they have to practice.
And the last question I have is that you indicated that the Family Birthing Center had a direct loss of nearly $1 million in 2021. This loss would be eliminated by closing the unit, and presumably the financial results at Santa Rosa would also improve if the Petaluma Valley Hospital OB services are terminated and volume transfers to Santa Rosa. Does it seem fair and reasonable to you that Providence should receive a financial windfall and benefit by millions of dollars should Providence close the Family Birthing Center at Petaluma Valley Hospital?
Thank you. I'm not going to respond to that question.
Okay. Those are the questions that I had. Thank you.
I provided the answers to the questions as stated.
Thank you, Johnson. So for the board's comment, would you like to begin?
This is very tough because you're not budging. You said you wanted to discuss it and work with us. You only want to work with us in a negative tone, in quotes.
Cheryl, a little louder.
Okay, so it's a struggle to see you just sitting there and say you answered things. So many of the things you answered were vague in those things. I kept looking at them like there's no answer. Even talking to the gentleman over there, you were vague. And you continue to be vague. And my trust is gone. I can't trust you at all. I'm sorry. I just can't. And the fact that you wouldn't even turn slightly to say, yes, let's talk about how we can keep it open, especially because he said there are people that want to help. They want to work with us. And that was a no for you. That's a negative. I'm watching you. You just, you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to deal with us. And you don't want to deal with them. You don't care about women and children that are going to be dying. You don't.
I'm waiting for the question.
Cheryl. So, okay. The question to you is, why is it that you are on the negative versus the positive when you hear that we are willing to work with you in a positive way to keep OB open?
I have asked for collaborative discussion. This is not conducive to that. I am not being asked questions that I think are reasonable and fair. And to sit here and just listen to persecution and comments from our side, I don't think that's a reasonable thing. I am going to choose to not respond. If you want to engage with us and with me in a different way, I'm happy to do that. But this is not the tone or tenor in which I plan to respond.
Which I can say, and I understand. But I also don't understand why there has been no compassion or empathy about what people are trying to say to you about the struggle that will happen when you close.
I don't agree with that statement.
Even though you're only here in a short minute, and these people have been here for a very long time. So in other words, their knowledge and their wisdom of this department for all those years, you don't seem to care.
Again, that's a statement, not a question.
Okay, so do you care about those things that they're saying?
I care very much about the program and the staff, which is why I've asked to engage in a collaborative process. Because by not allowing me to close this program, which I cannot staff safely, will cause interrupted service and care for patients, which I feel is way more threatening to the health and welfare of the community members than having a consistently staffed service. We are in a healthcare crisis at this moment for staffing.
Good.
Globally.
Understood.
I do, by not allowing us to collaboratively work with you, you will force us to have to divert at times when we don't have the available services. Not knowing if you have services at the hospital will cause greater safety concerns for the public. By not allowing us to work with our staff to place them in positions and just divert, that is going to cause additional issues for our staff members because you're not allowing us to do this in a collaborative process. But sitting here and just telling me perception and not asking the actual questions is part of the problem.
Well, you were asked questions, and I'm asking you questions as well. It is difficult.
Those were leading questions. He knows very well that I can't speak about confidential contracts and our contracting process or what we pay people That is not information we share. And he knows very well the rules about how medical staff are hired or not hired and how contracts are done and how hospitals contract for services.
Yeah. Then how can we cooperate with you when, in fact, we are feeling so opposite about what you are saying?
I don't know what you want us to do because we are facing a national healthcare crisis.
I think what I thought of what you wanted you to do is actually have communication about it. And so far, this is a statement. I'm sorry. It does not feel like that when, in fact, your opening statement was nothing has changed and
nothing has changed about the situation in which we face.
But some things, according to others, have changed, like what he spoke about. There is some hope out there. There is some communication out there that is going to happen. But none of that has come forward from you in hopes to want to keep it.
I did share. We would explore anything that came through the RFP, and then an RFP was placed. That was a true statement.
And you're not allowed to tell us who you sent.
Absolutely. No.
Or who you reached out to. You're
Am I being videotaped? Seriously?
It's on Zoom. It's public.
It's
a public meeting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Really? By a public person, I'm allowed to be videotaped? I understand the Zoom, but by somebody individually, I'm allowed to be videotaped?
Yeah, actually, technically, we're in a public, there's no expectation.
Okay.
I can't quote law to you, but I'm pretty safe that that is. If we could try to keep it being civil, and also we can keep it to questions that she can answer, that'll help us to move forward in our process. So, Cheryl, are you done?
Yeah, I mean, I tried my best, and I would have loved to have said that, having been in that department for as long, and everything you speak about, like diversion and everything else, we've been there, we've done it. And I'm sorry that the history and the people that have worked for it for so long aren't able to penetrate what you want to do. So.
Chair, can I ask a question, please?
Yes, please. Yes. Dr. Tobias, I yield to you.
The volume can go up a little bit. First of all, I would encourage everybody to read the questions and the responses provided by NorCal, because there are a lot there. And it appears that, that's probably the best way to understand NorCal's position and their responses and to understand where they're coming from. So my comments are going to be mostly comments. But I do have to say that I was disappointed in the response. I did not get walk away from reading that response to see that there was any willingness to try and maintain the services, efforts to try and maintain the services. And the discussion about collaborating with the district is collaborating to help them close the unit. There's really been no attempt to collaborate so far. Hopefully we can going forward. I'd like to see that as for a true collaboration, where everything is on the table and we can discuss that. Many of the questions, and again, I'll leave you to interpret them yourselves, the answers were relatively uninformative, sometimes evasive, sometimes using the discussion of confidentiality. But here again, there's a mechanism. Confidentiality agreements can be signed. We can have closed session if these were necessary to discuss. So that shouldn't be just a roadblock. There are ways of trying to solve that.
And I did share with Ramona I was willing to do that.
Okay, good.
So Dr.
Good.
Ramona, can you share that? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, so as everyone understands,
I was not willing to provide them in a public forum.
That's understood.
Which will be published in the press tomorrow.
Absolutely, right. No, I understand. There are things like that, and just so everyone else understands how we work, we can't discuss amongst ourselves anything outside of a public board meeting. The board does. So some of this information may not have been documented. Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate that. There is this issue about feeling that you've exhausted all opportunities to be able to staff and keep the Family Birthing Center open. And again, Jonathan kind of pointed out the timeline, the notification in November. But by November, you had already made up your mind what you wanted to do. There wasn't a lot of effort to try and maintain or salvage or turn around the situation. Again, if you were notified in November, you had a meeting with us in November, notified us in mid-December, that doesn't suggest that a lot of effort was made to try and rectify the situation. And the RFP you've clarified as well. It's gone out, and hopefully something can come out of that, and we look forward to hearing from you on that as well. There are a few items and questions that were brought forward that again, are a little difficulty with the answers. So people are aware there are two clauses in the contract that refer to OBGYN services. One is under what's called 11.3B, which is a 20-year commitment to maintain OBGYN services under a California Code 70547. Secondly, there's a 5-year commitment to keep the Family Birthing Center open. So the question was asked, what's going to happen to the OBGYN services that are part of the 20-year commitment? And the response was, well, we can close any service. That's what the contract says. There's a way of approaching that. And that they considered the notification back in December to be all OBGYN services. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not pretending to be a lawyer, and there's not to be lawyerish about this, but in fact, the notification was for Family Birthing Center, and if indeed all OBGYN services are intended to be closed down, that may need to be an amendment to that declaration. I raised this previously, and again, the answer is sort of not satisfying, and this has to do with the secular nature of PBH and the services that are offered there. This is a requirement for the sale. This must be in fact, NorCal Connect was created in order to be able to provide a secular environment for the hospital. Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital is not a secular hospital. It's a Catholic hospital, which has ERDs, or ethical religious directives, that are attached to their services there. And that, in reproductive health, has several implications. So we asked, what additional services will patients who are not able to obtain who are not able to obtain there that they would receive the PBH? In other words, what can they not get at Memorial that they can get with PBH? If the Family Birthing Center closes, how will this be addressed? Where will the patients be able to obtain these services? How and when will they be educated on this? Those were the questions. The answer was PBH will continue to offer tubal ligations on an outpatient basis. Really not answering the question. And again, I'm not going to direct that to you, maybe some other time that can be expanded on, but like I said, please read these responses. We asked about the impact of this decision on special populations, on low-income patients, unsheltered, undocumented, rural residents, Spanish-speaking residents, and said, has this been evaluated? Do you understand the impact these populations? And, you know, it's clear that, that, you know, the outcomes for a lot of these populations are worse. The response was NorCal does not intend to conduct a special population impact assessment. When asked to provide a list of any new services or resources that will be provided to residents of the district that may address some of the detrimental effects of this decision or anything that might mitigate the impact on the community, the answer was NorCal does not intend to conduct a service or resource impact assessment. Collaborative doesn't sound like it. There were other requests about financial, et cetera, but I'm not going to go into those. But the bottom line, the crux of the argument here is this is a safety issue. It's been repeated time and again by the representatives from NorCal. This is not a financial decision. Now, on the surface, that's a little bit difficult to fully comprehend, but let's just take that at face value. So if it is a safety issue, well, what is that safety issue? And so the question was asked, what specific safety issues, if any, are causing NorCal to want to close the Family Birthing Center? Besides the inability to secure anesthesia coverage, which as we hear there is a possibility that maybe they'll forget that. And the answer is if there's no anesthesia cover and if a patient needs a cesarean section, especially if it's emergent, PBH cannot provide that service and would need to stabilize and transfer the patient. The plan that NorCal is putting forward is that all the emergency pregnancies, deliveries will be going through the emergency department. My question, again, this is the rhetorical question, I don't expect the answer here, is how does this differ? If somebody shows up in the ED, you're not going to have anesthesia coverage. Patient needs an emergency C-section. They need to be stabilized and transferred. So there's no distinguishing those two safety issues. A further comment about the intermittent issue. If anesthesia cover is intermittent and the patient arrives in need of OBGYN services when anesthesia is unavailable, there could be delays in again. Yeah, it could be. But again, this does not differ from what's going to happen if people show up in the emergency department and need the care. So the safety issues, he says, were responded to in the question, appear to be comparable between the present situation, maybe less so if we get anesthesia coverage, because that takes care of all of those concerns, and the proposed plan from Morgan. But safety is a, again, this is the crux of what's being brought up. So we specifically asked the question about can you provide a safety analysis of the impact of the proposed changes? We asked it to include assessment of birth complications, other adverse outcomes, and mortality. Analysis should include, but not be limited to, the evaluation of the impact of transportation delays, lack of access to rapid transportation, number of home and out-of-hospital births, utilization of the ED for urgent distress, complicated delivery, etc. So what's going to happen from a safety point of view if this plan is implemented? We ask for the analysis to be relevant to peer-reviewed scientific literature whenever possible. And there's a whole ton of scientific literature out there. I'm just going to throw one out there really quickly because it's a simple, easy one to digest. A study was performed in the Netherlands where their outcomes are much better than ours, baseline. And they found that for every 20-minute delay in travel time, there was a total increase in mortality of 17%, neonatal mortality by 51%, and all adverse outcomes by 27%. That's for 20-minute delay. So there's plenty of ways that, to address the safety impacts of this proposal. Unfortunately, the answer we got was NorCal does not intend to conduct a safety impact assessment. So I'm just going to conclude here, but
your response is charged with bias. I mean, they're right there for the whole public.
Okay. I'm not addressing it, please. Let me finish in there. These are my comments. This is my take from reading the responses, and I'm entitled to be able to. So I've been on the PVH board both before and after the sale. And I have to say there are many, many very dedicated, caring, skilled people who work for Providence. And I've been impressed by many of those people and actually privileged to be working with them or helping them out. They work hard for the community and they keep their commitments. Unfortunately, it appears that NorCal does not seem to share some of those qualities. When we went to purchase the hospital, and this has been discussed several times, NorCal made a commitment to keep the Family Birthing Center open. So I went back and I looked at the Providence website today, still up there, and they list the benefits of NorCal Health Connect's purchase of Federal Memorial. And the first bullet point is ensure PVH Hospital and Healdsburg continue to offer quality, accessible, and affordable care. Great. The second bullet point, ensure Petaluma Valley Hospital's family birthing center, which provides maternity and newborn care, remains available to patients. This is what was promised. This is how we presented it to the community. This is what NorCal has on their website. It's really kind of difficult to understand why more efforts haven't been made to be able to continue with that commitment. So I'm not gonna just get into a rant here, but the claim that the decision is not financial is difficult to accept on face value, but you provide so little support for the safety claim. And you refuse to evaluate the potential harms that this decision may cause. So I'm going to end with a quote, and it's probably not going to go over really well here, but I'm going to do it. The quote is integrity. Let us love not merely with words or speech, but with actions in truth. We hold ourselves accountable for the right reasons. We speak the truth with courage and respect. We pursue authenticity and humility and with humility and simplicity. For any of you who are wondering where that comes from, it's the Providence mission statement. I yield the rest of my time.
Yeah, thank you. So, and I'm going to take us on a little history lesson, in part because I don't know if the current staff at Providence really understands what the hospital and how the healthcare district has to operate. I know Fran knows because she educated me years ago. So in 1946, the state of California set up special health care districts throughout California to ensure that veterans returning from the war had access to health services. That those districts, and there are 52 districts throughout California, continue to operate hospitals in a variety of different ways. Up until the negotiation with NorCal Health Connect, Providence or St. Joseph Health leased the hospital from the healthcare district. The healthcare district has the property and the ownership of that hospital, and it was leased to St. Joseph Health. When we began the negotiations for extending the lease with St. Joseph Health, it was Providence at the time that came to us and said, we would rather consider the purchase of the hospital. The caveat with the purchase of the hospital is that Petaluma Valley Hospital would continue to be a thriving hospital supporting the entire district. And I think in comments made earlier, it's not just Petaluma. The district reaches far out to the ocean, up through Rohnert Park. Our district is a big district that represents not just the residents of Petaluma, and that's important for us to consider. And I think for the current staff from Providence and NorCal Health Connect to understand how we have to operate our business as a special district appointed by the state of California in order to do this work. So that's why we have to follow Brown Act. That's why we have to have questions submitted in writing. That's why we hope that when questions get responded, they're as thorough as they possibly can so we don't have to re-ask those questions. So I think that's key to understanding how healthcare districts work and why we're all here, and why it is a public meeting, and why in the past, not only were the employee salaries, but the OSHPD numbers and all of those things were reported publicly through the lease with St. Joseph Health. So claiming that you can't disclose that information is a violation of the actual contract that we have currently with NorCal Health Connect. And I think it's really important that everybody understand that when we negotiated that contract, we negotiated on behalf of every single resident. Even if you're not going to be using Petaluma Valley Hospital, you are a resident in this community. You are part of this district, and we need to have hospital operations that we trusted. I think when we talk about how the district is set up and the language around that, Jeffrey pointed out some very important information that has to do with the words birthing center and OBGYN, and I think it's really important that we get some clarification on what was the intent of the letter. I also have to raise a point of question in the word collaboration. Listen. What I do every day in this community is collaborate with everybody. And I have yet to see any collaboration. We were told in a meeting, we were called, we were summoned to a meeting. We were told in that meeting what the plans were. We asked for conversation before a letter was issued from Providence and NorCal Health Connect. That did not happen. A letter came stating that we were closing the birthing center, was, again, no collaboration. So when you come and say that you want to collaborate, that means that we're working together to come up with solutions. I will tell you that members of our community and members from other healthcare organizations have reached out with possible solutions. The community in public comment have offered possible solutions. Listening to those solutions and working and giving back and forth, that's collaboration. Coming in and saying, on this date, this system is closing, is a violation of the contract. If you read the details of the contract, a violation of that contract means that the hospital comes back to the district. So those are my comments.
All right, Brian.
Well, I certainly don't have any additional questions from what you've already heard from my colleagues. And so I will share with you my individual perspective as I have done. My perspective on this has remained the same from the beginning, as you know, as everyone here knows. And I read through the minutes of our prior meetings, and it says two things, that I have a lot to learn in this space, and it says that my perspective is that Providence has not met the threshold for closing, and both of those things are true. I do have a lot to learn in the sense that when I, without benefiting from having a career in healthcare like some of my counterparts, or working on the sale of the hospital like some of my counterparts, I have to look to things that I receive in this process and try to deduce whether they have merit. And in our January meeting, you had explained to us that you did a long discernment and arrived at this decision to ultimately have to close the birthing center. And in follow-up to that, I don't know what a long discernment is without a safety impact assessment, financial impact assessment, special population impact assessment, service or resource impact assessment. So I can't really comment on that, but that seems like there are huge gaps there to me. And so, you know, the ask then and the ask tonight is to ask, was to collaboratively work together to close the Family Birthing Center. And my perspective is no. I do not understand why we are not collaboratively working together to keep it open, because you're committed to doing that. You're required to do that. From the very beginning, all of these things that I have learned through this process, I have valued understanding the depth and breadth of the huge impact this has on our community. But they are, as I said, in my view, arguments for why it should be here in perpetuity. They are not arguments for why we should end it early and break the what was agreed to in the purchase agreement. And in terms of the collaboration, when I pull back the lens, it frustrates me, because in terms of building and nurturing a healthy community, the hospital has to be a critical and key partner. And this process has not felt like a partnership, frankly. If it was a collaboration, you know, I think you were notified on November 2nd, received written notification. In our board meeting in December, Rachel Reeder was here giving us an operational update, and that was never mentioned. If this was a collaboration, we could have harnessed resources and addressed this need to sit on the same side of the table and resolve this problem or work to resolve this problem. 2 weeks after that is when we received a letter requesting permanent closure, which for me seems like just whiplash to go from that to permanent closure and the huge impact that has. So it seems obvious to me, and I'm interested in my questions. I don't have any additional questions. I will just share that I would direct staff as a board member within the parameters of the board requirements. We would work tirelessly to collaborate to keep it open as agreed to. But the spirit of partnership has not been there, and I cannot see clear from anything I've received from Providence to collaboratively work together to close it. I just don't understand the logic in that, candidly. So that's my opinion. But,
so everyone's been very eloquent, and I actually just have a question. What would have to happen to keep it open? What would need to transpire in order to keep it open?
You have to have staff and OB coverage and anesthesia coverage.
How would that happen?
By having people willing to contract to have those services within a fair market value.
So currently we're notified by Jonathan that we have that on the table, that someone has responded and is offering to provide the anesthesia services, as I understand it. So if you have that, would that be sufficient to keep the Family Birthing Center open?
I can't respond. I've not seen the answers to the RFPs, so I don't know what their response was to evaluate it. I don't know how he got third-party information or whatever he did, but I haven't evaluated it, so I can't respond.
Okay. But if
it is a viable response, I don't know.
Okay. So, but if in fact that was true, and you have received that, you said you got it on the 14th, fair, that was yesterday, but if in fact they do provide it at prevailing wages, then that would be sufficient to keep it open.
Except that we don't have OB coverage as of May 4th.
Okay. So when
except
we...
Except for the 5 days that the FQHC provides.
So we were notified it was because of
anesthesia. And today,
and since then, this has changed. We received notice from our OB providers, two of them, that they're no longer going to provide coverage as of May 4th.
Where are they going to provide coverage?
I don't know.
They can't. They terminated with me. We can't. So that would be a subsequent issue that we need to deal with. At this point, the one that's right in front of us, because that's May, the one that's right in front of us is if you have an anesthesiologist and you secure coverage, then that would be sufficient. So that's what I'm hearing. That was correct. That's what I'm hearing you say.
I answered your question.
Okay, so I was just restating what I heard you, so I wanted to make sure that I had heard it correct. Okay. The only comment that I have is, and I support everything that my colleagues have said, is that when this contract was signed, it had 5 years for OB and 20 years for the hospital, and I feel like this is very, what's next? Close the hospital? And it really, for the same reason. So that obviously the contract didn't mean anything. It's not valued, and we don't have a lot of opportunities, but there's no reason why. And, you know, I would ask you to be respectful and not be on your phone while we're trying to.
I'm asking my lawyer a specific question on how I respond.
So should I pause then?
Sure, that would be great. Thank you. I asked her if I answered the question fully, and she said, yes, I did.
And you were welcome to bring her.
She doesn't live here. She's on the line.
That was all I have comment, except for that I'm in full support of keeping the Family Birthing Center open and doing whatever we can to work collaboratively in order to accomplish that, whatever that looks like. Okay, sure.
I would like Lorraine for Providence to reconsider the assessment, the risk assessment. I do think it's very important to those assessments to determine what the impact of closing will be going to have on suffering. And we have reached out. Have you reached out to Kaiser?
I don't know specific. I know they did a broad reaching. Are you talking about anesthesia coverage specifically?
I just thought Kaiser uses our hospital, and so I'm wondering if you reached out to Kaiser, the community partner, to see if they could explore options for how they can support anesthesia, OB. I
personally have not had a conversation.
Also, I've been notified by Marin Health. I got called from Marin Health. Indicated that nurses are calling Marin Health for jobs. And their response was, what can we do to help support it? That's another group that we need to sit down and see if we can work with. There might be some solutions, so I just want to go back.
We did submit to Marin, I do know that for anesthesia, as I said earlier.
Mm-hmm. Good. Because I think with the health center, the medical community, Kaiser, Marin, I don't know about the other. But we may be able to come together and talk about what can we do to keep this unit open. So we're more than willing, and Lorraine's right. Lorraine and I talked Monday, I think, or maybe it was Friday. Mm-hmm. There's some information that I think they feel that they can't share in public, and if that's the case, then we need to create an ad hoc to get some of the answers that we need. So but our goal is to work and collaborate of strategies to continue operating as a family birthing center, not to collaborate on permanently closing the family birthing center. So I think before we close it, we should make sure we've explored every option to keep that unit open. And we know in 5 years, Providence is going to close it. We know that. And, you know, would it be nice to keep it open for 2 more years and use the last year to talk about as a community what we need to do in order to offer OBGYN services in Poland. That would be wonderful. That's what I would really like to explore. No talking. No talking.
Can we apply when you want your role?
So this session is now over. We've heard the comments. There's no vote taken this evening. But we are going to go to closed session to discuss conference of legal counsel and anticipated litigation and the initiative of litigation pursuant to California Government Code 54956.9. So, so I won't be agenda item is the we're going to reorder our current agenda to the rebranding update and logo presentation.
Thank you.
Something fun.
Okay. Something fun.
A little lighthearted.
What's that?
It was the PDF presentation you sent earlier.
Don't tease yet.
Don't peek.
As long as you.
Yeah, no peeking.
No peeking. She told me not to peek.
So we have been,
our internal team has been working a lot with
IP.
And we have something to share today with our branding.
Sorry.
That's okay.
We're getting our text squared
away. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, absolutely.
And she didn't want me to share ahead of time, so there you go.
Yes. Well, I'm really happy to be back with all of you and share some of the work that we've been doing over the last couple of months. We're really excited about it. We have built a brand that has an integration of illustration and that we're using to kind of really heighten the communication of health and vitality and you know, all of the positive things that the district brings to. So I know you guys had a long meeting, so I'm going to try to be really concise in my presentation and not cover. I had some more background, kind of move through that quickly, though. We can go next slide. So this is just a reminder of our process. I wanted to remind you guys of where we are, the steps that we take, and where we are in the process. So we started with discovery, which is when we did our workshop and did all of our research. We moved to positioning, which is where we get the story straight, like we understand the story, kind of building from what we took vision statement and what we took from discovery. Then we moved to design, which is what we've just wrapped up now, and we're working on the website and the annual report currently. So both of those are being worked on. And you'll get a couple sneak peeks on that, but there's still work in progress. Next slide. Oops, not even going to bother with this. Never mind. But this is just basically what I told you before, and I can talk at length about our process. Yeah. So that's kind of what we started with, and our focus was to communicate that vitality, like I said, as well as showing the role that the district has in the community and how you serve the community. And trying to think if there were other elements that we were focused on, but that was really it. Like if we had to distill it down to its essential elements, it was about health, vitality for all in our community. We can go on to next slide. This is where we started. When we first start doing our work, we do what we call a mood board, where we pull examples from other places, things that we see that feel right. So we start to kind of look at color, we start to look at typography, a little bit at photography. And so this was the mood board that we selected. There was another mood board we looked at as well, but this was the direction we wanted to go with. And any questions at this stage? No, make sense? Okay, next slide. This is the color palette that we landed on. Again, really vibrant color. The reason that we went with such bright colors is because we were really focused on use case scenarios where you were going to be a logo in a sea of logos, and we really wanted to come up with a mark and an icon that would stand out in that sea of logos of partners that are involved. Below that, we have our typography. Most of our type is sans serif, just really clean, simple font. But for titles, we've used that serif font where it says strategic priorities. That'll be like on the website where what our titles would be, that kind of thing. But it's a secondary font for us. Other than that, we're keeping it real simple and clean. Another couple of things I wanted to mention about the color palette is in addition to those really bright colors, we wanted to set up a relationship of complementary colors that have a lot of energy. And we wanted to have the color palette to allow for colors that could be used if there were more somber topics as well. So that's kind of the range that we came up with. Next slide.
This is the library of all of the illustrations that we have to work with. These will not be used in one large piece like this. They will be pulled apart and used as elements throughout different pieces that we work with. And you'll see a little later in the presentation how we're taking some of those elements and integrating them with photography to just give them more life. This is the logo. This is where we have ended up, and we decided to focus on the heart and the lines in the heart that, pardon me?
He thinks it looks like an elephant.
It looks like an
elephant.
Oh,
oh,
I see.
She's lying. If you think so. Yeah, so we wanted to integrate all of those, the colors, and communicate through these lines how the programs move through the community. So that was our goal here. And at this point, I think I'll open it for some any comments or questions. Well, I'll go ahead and show it to you in usage. Let's move through the whole presentation, and then we can talk about it. So this is for district and foundation, and next slide, you can see for foundation only, that's what it would look like. Next slide, and this is a one color. We're still working on the icon, so that's kind of the last thing that we're putting in place. That one's not finished yet. Next slide. Is there any way to scroll down? Yeah, we just wanted to show this as an example of how it really pops on the flyer. And next slide. And this is kind of an idea of where we're headed with the website. This is not a literal page from it, but design-wise, how we're picking up these bright elements that indicate movement and kind of dynamic energy in the community, and how we're integrating those with the photography. Next slide. And then there's one more just showing with some of the photography, we'll also be using these color overlays to keep the focus on the people and let the backgrounds fall back. This device with the color will also allow the district to use other photos besides what we took at the photo shoot. It's a tool that allows will help to make the photos feel unified even if they come from different sources. So that's where we are. I'd like to open it up for any comments, questions, thoughts. You guys, you know, I would love to share this whole process with you. It's been really great working with this full team. We've explored probably 5 or 6 different approaches. We've explored the plant approach for a while. We had probably 3 or 4 different icons using the plant or the tree, and it was so static, and we really liked this idea. We see that the greatest strength of the organization is how dynamic it is and the way your work moves through the community. So, that's what we're trying to capture and communicate. Do you want to go back to the logo, Ben?
Yeah.
Do the district and foundation. That's right, because that's our primary.
So I know I'm in the minority here. Usually I'm in the minority. The logo, obviously, to me, is like an elephant. It looks like a Republican elephant. We are a certainly not a right wing type organization here, and I'm afraid that some people might take that away. I'm looking at that. The colors and whatever you can talk about, but that particular shape and the trunk and the thing, again, it really just, I can't not stop seeing that. And I'm assuming I'm not going to be the only one. So I do, it's problematic. The colors are all a matter of personal taste, but not my personal faith, so.
It's just to let you know that the colors are not actually selected out of personal taste. They are selected for strategic reasons.
Yeah. So the person viewing it is,
correct.
Is that person.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
So that's what
I understand. Yeah. Makes sense.
Does anyone else have comments? Do you have comments, Cheryl? Or?
Well, I didn't see the elephant until Jeffrey mentioned it, and so maybe we can turn the heart on its other side.
It's a heart?
It's a heart.
It's a heart,
Jeff.
So, you know, I mean,
and
well,
yeah. It looks
like a heart, then.
It's
a heart.
It
looks like a heart.
Yeah.
So, did you have anything else you
want
to say?
No, I
do. Hi, Ted. Could you describe for me the significance of the colors? Do they have like a... you had mentioned, I was wondering, like, you know, if there was a, you know, reason why those colors and that pattern and that combination, it's like yellow represents something.
It's not a literal, there's no literal reason, like the red represents this and the yellow represents that. It was really, that color palette was selected, like I said, for two reasons. One was to we knew that we wanted to work with colors that were going to be standout, that were going to show up when you were mixed with a lot of other logos. So generally, warm colors, red, yellow, and orange, and that pink, they come forward. And if you mix them with blues, with cool colors, it creates kind of like energy in the color relationships and tension.
Mm-hmm.
We like that. That energy makes it feel kind of vibrant, and that's what we were going for. Does that answer your question?
Yeah,
in your opinion, do you think that it would make sense to have like the same colors, but transposed between when you're looking at Healthy Petaluma District, it's like those same color patterns in one way, and then when you're looking at Foundation, it's those same color patterns in like the I'm asking your opinion on something like that, like, or, you know, does it make sense to have like that heart as a mark, and then it's the same color palette, but they're the district and the foundation are two kind of maybe complementary. I'm not explaining this right.
We did a color exploration of that, where we did a different color for district and foundation. And what started to happen is that it made it more prominent. And one of the things that we're always trying to do is think about hierarchy. What's the number one, number two, and number three? We don't want everything kind of equally weighted. Like, we want it to be clear. What am I supposed to, like, you look at this and I think you read Healthy Petaluma and then you see the heart and then you read District and Foundation, and that's how we wanted it to be read. The exploration that we did was with this lighter blue here and using that for District and Foundation, and it just competed with Healthy Petaluma. That's what we felt. And the other reason that we like that dark blue for Healthy Petaluma District and Foundation is that's the really grounded piece of the mark, right? That's the really grounded piece of the logo, and it feels really solid and stable and trustworthy. So we didn't really want to play with the color too much in that piece of it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I meant the heart, like almost like the heart is like a skew. So when like what's on the... let's say the Healthy Petaluma Foundation agendas and things. It's like in the brand line of the Petaluma Healthcare District, but it's not the same. Healthy Petaluma District and Foundation, but it's not the same exact one. I'm not articulating this.
Are you saying the bottom is two different versions?
In other words, almost like home and away jerseys for a professional team. Like, it's the same thing, the same branding.
Yeah.
But when you're, when it's with the foundation, it's like a, it's like the mirror image in a different
The foundation
color
would be different than the heart. But they would just be
married. Not a recommendation, it's a question.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So the, I think that generally speaking, you want to keep, like, you the mark, you want to keep the mark as stable as possible. And so if that heart changes or the heart moves around, it confuses people. It's better to have the same icon used consistently and a consistent structure just to avoid confusion. And the other thing is people... the more marks you get, like the more versions that we get of this, and it's more opportunities for people to use it incorrectly.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Can I ask, because something I always am aware of is for the visually impaired. So these colors are good for the visually impaired because obviously we're healthy and caring about the aging.
Right. That's a really good question.
Well, not necessarily. A lot of times when, for visually impaired, when you get older, you can't, I think the dark, I don't know this well.
Yeah.
But maybe something to explore, there's colors that are hard to read. Because I have done PowerPoints, and my audience has told me, I can't, older people, because I look at the surfaces, I can't read that.
There's not enough contrast.
Yeah. So that was more from a question perspective. I love the pop of colors.
It really
appeals to me. I think that even the best example you gave us was the was showing how it stands out amongst the others.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of these things have become, they've all kind of started with the same, and the color palette's the same, and this just pops. I really, really like that. And the heart was my favorite part of our current one, as the little heart instead of the dot. Was it over the eye?
Yeah.
Really outstanding job.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, and for me, I'm immediately drawn to it, in part because the logo that we have at PPSC was created in 1974,
right.
And it has that kind of retro feel with the little guy's hands up
right.
and stuff. And so I feel like there's this nod to our history because it has that kind of retro look to it, too. It is hard for us old people to read white text. So, you know, when you're doing the design for PowerPoint presentations, if we could avoid the white text on a dark, on a blue background, if you can't read it.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, other than that, I think, yeah.
Great.
You had district and foundation in white text in a blue bar.
Yeah, no,
and
then
blue bar. Yeah, we tried it.
Yeah.
It did not work.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for your support from the beginning. I know, you know, there were a lot of questions about this process, and we are all feeling really excited and really proud of the work. Not just this piece of it, but the website and the annual report, I think, are going to be really wonderful, too.
What's the timing on those? On the website?
We said mid-March.
You said mid-March.
Yeah,
I think
mid-March.
A couple weeks.
Ugh. Yeah, we're very close. They've been building it, and, like, so they were kind of building the architecture and the structure of the thing while we were finalizing the logo, and now we're just sort of piecing it together. We had our photo shoot this weekend, and as you guys know, we did the headshots today. So now it's a matter of kind of pulling all these pieces together. Melinda and her team have been working with us on the copy, and... Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you
thank you so
much.
I just want to make sure you focus that I have a really good headshot and that mine.
Yes.
You know,
Paige is the best.
I know. Paige is the best.
Really
I
good.
Said
no,
samples of like a few of the shots on my phone today, and I thought they looked great.
I might need some help.
Well, help is available. Help is available.
I don't want mine to be the best. I mean, I'll have talk.
Okay. Hope took, I shared with the group, Hope took my picture with Devin when we had been up for 3 days during a fire. And it's my absolute favorite picture ever. I don't know how she was able to, like,
capture the energy, because both of us, literally, we were leaning against each other because we were holding each other up. But Paige, Paige took that, and it's amazing.
She's really good at what she does.
So, I'm sorry, I got one more question.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, when we say mid-March, what does that mean? For, like, the prototype that we see, or, like, what's a launch, public launch?
Well, we're...
Because I would the reason why I'm asking
is
I would love a public launch that coincides with telling the story of this new name and this new... Like, it has to be, like,
launch this, and then, you know, I know, and then launch Blue Zones after that,
and
have Healthy Kalua Initiative. But yes, we're going to the annual report is all like coinciding. It's going to be revealing the new logo. We're launching.
Keep telling me it's a big splash.
Nice. We got a big celebrity coming in with our new logo on it.
I mean, the Argus will be all over, of course, but we're hoping for more than that. But just wanted to add, it's been great working with the Design Guild too. I think that they're really good listeners, and they also did a lot of due diligence to come up with different scenarios and different, you know, kind of different options. And we went through lots of kind of looks and feels, and I also really where we landed with like incorporating a lot of color to show this like 2.0 like and incorporating like we looked at like different flags and like different things representing so many different people, like pink women, like it was just whole, and they were able to pull it together in a way I think that The challenge is that you can't have every color, right?
Right.
So you definitely have to land on
he's older. Would know what I'm talking
about. Oh, I get that. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't think it's also somewhat seamless. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like super trendy.
Yeah, I don't think we were going for a real strong retro feel. We just really wanted it to
feel.
Well, we would be good. Yeah,
that's definitely vivacious vitality.
So I actually like how it looks. So in the mirror, in the window, see the reflection? You get kind of a different interpretation of the colors, even when you're looking at it that way. So, I like it a lot.
Like, as someone who has it's been a challenge for many years to really communicate who the district is and what you do and, like, all that kind of stuff, there's still, you know, confusion. Like, I love the idea of, like, the heart being recognizable as something that really stands out as, like, so eventually you can see the heart and be like, this is Healthy Pilgrim, like, initiative or whatever. So I love that. I like
the heart going down better in the egg stage.
Yeah.
We're not going to get it together.
April 22nd.
No.
I
want to thank both of you.
Thank you.
How many times I've said to you guys on Zoom, this is not my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think? Right? But the internal staff voted on this.
Yeah. Well, and I think honestly is what I said when we were voting on the name, you got to get out of the way of the expert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we all have an opinion, but let's let the experts do what you guys do so well, and this is clearly a reflection of that.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be working on it. Everybody on the team feels that way. We always love our work, but especially when we're doing it for an organization that we, like, you know, our heart, we feel really good about it. And I think everybody on the team feels that way about it. So thank you so much. I'll let you go. I know you still have more to cover.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, the only other update I have is on the Blue Zone.
Yep.
Okay.
SOW.
Correct.
Can we turn those lights?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we're moving to the Blue Zone.
So we Don and I and Ben met twice, and we met with Blue Zones once. We're turning it back around the Blue Zones. There's still work to do on the contract. It is not ready to bring here to the board.
Okay.
But I think that we should try and schedule a meeting next week with you and Elise, since you're on the planning committee.
Okay.
Just because I think it's important to have you guys' insight.
Okay.
Because
I
don't
want it in an hour.
No, I know. I know. There's not enough meat to it.
Yeah. Okay.
So and
so Tony and Lyle aren't here.
Tony and Lyle are not here, but they are. They have a meeting on Tuesday. They're going to let me know what the date is or what the time is, and we'll see if it works for us. If not, we'll pick another time.
Okay.
But we're ready to pull in you two.
Okay. Well, I was going to Tuesday, but I don't need to do that. I can do that later. Okay. Then I believe we can go into closed session and I'll do the thing.
Yep.
And is Don still on?
Probably not.
Yes, he is still.
Okay. You want to unmute him, or is he going to call him in the other room?
We're going to call him in the other room.
Okay. Yeah. Water with me.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is
staying in this room? Well, you'll be able to get them in the. I think I have to think that. I was thinking about what I have to eat.
I have a couple of bars, but I don't know if they jive.
No, I have to have the most of them. That's the.
I've never seen a more rude person in my life.
Well, I have, but I mean, I was amazed at how rude she was.
And maybe she doesn't understand what a public meeting is, but you get to stay and you can talk as long as men want.
Even numbers backwards. 1, 3, 4, 2, and then hit enter, pause, and then turn.
Thank you, Ryan. That was a different
restroom code. Your instructions the first time were so perfect. Because I had, in the past, I had done the combo but not paused. And that was the moneymaker today. It was I did it, and then hit it, and I paused, and then I opened it.
Because they're used to getting them turning away.
Right now, happened for closed session, correct? You're in there, get here, take the sign down from the share screen,
Yeah. And
continue as normal. I'm just closed.
Yeah, all you have to do is click stop share. And go right back to the title of what's over.
Yeah. I was made aware. We think you keep over. Yeah, that's the sound. That's the video.
Good.
Why don't they pick it up with them?
Yeah.
Well, because everybody else has to work. Kristen,
yeah.
I have
no, I work
yeah.
too, but I, you know, I can carve out stuff. You know, I can carve out.
We're coming back in.
Yeah, I need to use the restroom real quick.
So, do we need to add Dawn back in? They're in there messing around. Come on, people.
Yeah. Oh, here's, you probably already have these, but these need to go in the board packet. You know the agenda says draft, right? Or the stuff we have also is draft. So you couldn't figure out how to do something. No, thank you.
Was it Southwest?
No, my daughter was from Alaska.
Alaska, oh, good hell.
I'm going to go with you.
Yeah.
Is this for her an employee?
She's an employee.
But does she like the, she's kind of like the airline.
Yes, yes. They're really good. Yeah, they're a good company. I mean, she's young, so she's, and, you know, they, you're a number. When you're in a company that's that huge,
yeah.
It is. It can be difficult.
Okay, I got it.
It's like you're working for Providence. And you're trying to do a good job. They're telling you.
Andrew, are we live?
We're live.
So we're live. Okay.
Oh.
Do we have public on still?
Everybody abandons us?
Public is still on? Okay.
Do we know who the public is? Who is the public? It's not,
yeah. Maybe you could just show the chat.
I can't read that.
Don. Jonathan.
They say Noah.
I can't read that at all. I know.
Don is here.
Hi, John.
John is here.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
Got it.
This is
the
funny
part. How did you get the inside? Oh, well, I've got
friends
with
you.
It wasn't
hot. Yeah.
Okay. Where? Oh,
he
looks very nice.
Okay.
One of the pictures.
Oh. Good picture. Oh no, you can't see my arms. Oh, that is. Look at you! You got the
that's,
pose
that's
there.
Like star.
See, you are facing forward.
What?
I told you, don't stand with both of your shoulders facing forward.
Fine.
You are just, you know, I'm gonna call your wife and tell her she has not trained you well yet.
She knows that already. is this your phone?
Oh yeah, sorry. I wanted to show you. It's just something happy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very good result. Oh, we weren't doing what were we doing, intrathecals or something at the time?
I had my first one with that. They did not wear well at all.
Oh, well, yeah, that was last. Depending.
It was a Pitocin baby, and that was awful. So I was like, I'm going to San Jose for my second one.
And that is an option.
Yeah, which is fine. I made that decision myself. But if they would have had anesthesiologist, I would have had both there. It was an otherwise amazing experience.
She was born on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Where's her heart there?
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't see that as a heart.
That is so
funny. I know,
funny.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Do you, is it,
what's an elephant doing up there?
You know,
it's terrible. It, it's
the old, you know, the old woman, young lady, thing. Like, when you see something, it's hard to switch.
Is this a cup or some of the two people looking at each other, all those obstacles?
Okay, are we, can we go back in session, or do we need to wait for... Okay, we're back in session. We are coming out of closed session, and I'm here to report based on NorCal's request and responses to questions presented to date. The board is not able to approve NorCal's request to close the Family Birthing Center at this time, as the information presented does not evidence meaningful efforts to date to solve the lack of anesthesia services, and there is reason to believe more work can be done to solve the future lack of service, and the board is appointing an ad hoc committee to work with NorCal to collaborate on trying to explore whether solutions to keep the Family Birthing Center open can be achieved, and if unable to develop a solution, to revisit whether it is appropriate to close the Family Birthing Center.
So I make a motion to appoint Dr. Tobias and Brian to the ad hoc committee.
I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And vote by consensus or motion carries?
Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Next is the performance and salary review, and that's you, Ramona.
Yeah, they need to put this puppy to bed. All right.
Looks good to me. Okay, next.
What?
I said, looks good to me. Okay, next.
Yeah, I guess I'll let you know what the change was. Okay. Well, you know, we removed the 3% COLA, so we have, it can be up to, but doesn't mean it can't be lower than. It can be anywhere from zero to whatever the level is.
Yeah.
And I do think
from
that...
From page.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're on page...
65 out of 126.
Thank you, I found it.
Back to closed session. The other thing is, when we approve one of the employees, it's going to be before July 1, we also need to approve the record. Because if we don't, if you have a 6% COLA, and you're going to be up to 4% merit, that's 10% increase. So we have to be careful when we look at this. It's a new policy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's new, and we need to be careful how we implement this. This policy can be changed at any time by the board.
Right.
So we just have to have that conversation when we create our budget for July.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
So the chronology on this moment is is this just feedback or is this an action item?
No, this is an action item.
So we vote to approve. Is that...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you making a motion?
I move to approve the the Petaluma Health District Board Policy around performance and salary review.
I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion is approved. All right, Petaluma Health Foundation Board Officers. We have a recommended slate of officers.
Elise, President, Brian DeFore, Vice President, Secretary, Tobias Schindler.
Okay.
We don't have a secretary. We had an interim secretary 1 month.
Yeah.
And we have stuff that we have to file.
That was me.
That was you.
We
need an ongoing one. So what do you think, Elise? Or do you want everybody to do a position?
I mean, everybody could do a position.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Then the lead president, DeFore, vice president. Who wants to be secretary?
I'm the only one left.
No.
Cheryl.
I don't know what secretary means.
Okay.
It means you write everything. No, don't tell her that. I'm kidding.
I review the minutes. Okay, like I do when it gets sent to me, like I read them.
Uh huh. And there may be some other things that you do.
So you would review
review them before they go out to the whole foundation board, and I will probably review them too, just because that's how I micromanage. But so the minutes get prepared by staff. They send them to you and I to review to make sure they're correct. You say yes or no, or you got the date wrong, or you got the wrong logo on it, and then they update it, and then they send it out to the whole board.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine with it. I just know that I probably will be bothering you a
lot.
Okay.
That's all right.
That's okay.
It's really not.
It's not that hard.
It's okay.
Hello?
Do you have something, Don?
Yeah.
Do you have something you want to say?
Yeah, I couldn't hear, but are you appointing a treasurer?
Yes, Jeffrey.
Okay, great. Yes, I'm sorry, I hadn't heard that, but yeah, you need to appoint a minimum of president, treasurer, and secretary.
Yes,
right.
And we're doing four.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and then does this have to go back to the foundation board for approval? This is the district board, and you indicated
No, because it doesn't have to go back.
Okay.
All right, super.
Okay, good. I motion to approve the slate of officers as presented.
Second
by Jeffrey. All vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
That's you, Andrew.
You're ready.
Finally, Andrew. Weren't you excited?
Yes.
Andrew's been very helpful over the last couple of weeks.
I know.
So we had a meeting on yesterday, actually, which seems like a week ago. But that's yesterday. We had Carlos Vites from Chandler present our both portfolio and economic outlook. So the economic outlook is basically things are softening in the economy. The one bright spot seems to be that unemployment is going down. We have a little discussion on what that actually meant. I'm not sure if we can. That's kind of the backdrop of what's going on.
There wasn't a lot of questions.
And interest rates.
Yeah. And so interest rates, that was a segue. And interest rates, basically are still increasing. The Fed just increased the last meeting about quarter point. And but what's happening also is that the curve, which normally would keep going higher and higher, is inverted. So if you're buying treasuries that are under 2 years, you're usually above 4%. If you, after 2 years, you start declining. So that kind of led to a discussion of our duration, which actually as of January was 1.48 or something, and that's a temporary situation because we just, as you recall, moved $15 million, or we're in the process of moving the $15 million from WAVE to Schwab, and so they haven't got bonds, and so it's sitting in money market, which has zero duration, basically, so that's gonna, probably by the end of February, they should have all that money. And then the target again is 1.76 year and 3/4 duration. The portfolio is actually increasing in its return in its interest as well as the value over the last 3 months. We haven't seen it in January, we haven't seen it in our financials yet, but as you recall, we kept having paper losses, and so those have been coming back as the market kind of predicts what's going to happen in the future and getting back to that curve where the tail is south of 4%. Meaning it's kind of pushing up the values of
portfolio, basically, overall. So we're getting a higher return in cash, actually cash return, and the value is actually slightly lower.
That was the nicest finance committee we've had in a very long time. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah. You should do it from the car every time.
What?
You should do it from the car every time.
Yeah, no, yeah. He did a really great job. There was very few questions. Look.
So that's pretty much the portfolio.
And when are they coming back to the full board?
So they'll be coming back in May.
May, okay.
So they'll be coming back before once a year and to finance committee four times a year.
Did I get an invite to that calendar, or did you just email me? You didn't do a calendar. I don't think I got a calendar. You probably just emailed me, and it doesn't get added on.
You got to send a calendar invite.
And not to the healthcare district email.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you're needy.
Well, I am needy. No, thank you. That was great.
Thank you.
I actually think you did get a calendar invite because I remember seeing your name on it when I got mine and thinking, oh,
really?
This is new.
So the name is on.
Way to throw me under the bus, Jeffrey. Or Jonathan.
Jeffrey's going to save you.
Jeffrey's saving me.
We'll make sure that's in the middle.
Jonathan,
any update
on business development?
Very brief, not substantive update on business development. Had a meeting with the regional center to continue discuss possible funding assistance for development of programs with Living Unlimited. Continued brief conversations with the folks from MidPen, just explaining that we're sort of diverted our attention elsewhere, and it may be a while before we respond to them. Got made aware by Marin, actually, of a potential commercial office space that might be interesting to look at, and so we'll get follow-up information from there. And then Ramona, the health center, reached out and inquired about whether or not the district might be willing to make a loan to help them acquire some property in Roanoke Park. And I think we're going to follow up and get additional information on that.
Okay.
And that's all I have. That's all.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay. Okay, I'll say goodnight. Appreciate it, everybody.
We appreciate you. And Don, you can be excused now, too.
Well, he might have a question on this.
Oh. Okay, President's Report.
All right, just the ACH update is in there, but I want to make sure people know that the ACH, the annual meeting, is in Palisades, which is up in Truckee, September 13th through 15th. So if you guys want to go, please let us know it's in here.
I do.
Okay, great. Form 700 or do April 1st, so you make sure you submit your Form 700.
We just did it, so that information. Is anybody who hasn't done it already, or should
you do it?
Oh, good, thank you. Okay.
You were the first one to do it. So do April 1st. The board retreat. So we pushed out the board retreat, and I've been in conversation with DJ again. So he's given me some dates from the end of March and the end of April. Are we going to be ready at the end of March to focus on strategic plan?
We got it.
I agree. Right. Or it could be April and May, but we can't cancel it. Do you want me to send out
dates?
I have to send them out, yeah.
I just want to mention that I'm on vacation the end of April, beginning of May. I'm just saying it.
Okay. Well, we'll try to work around that. Okay. I mean, we want everybody to be there.
Yeah.
So we'll work around everybody's schedule.
Did you have a cold before you got here?
No.
And then I think I need to work with
how we do now.
Elise and Krista, you guys are governance committee.
Yeah. Okay.
And part of that is working on the strategic retreat.
Oh.
So we probably should set up a plan.
I think we need to add a few more board members.
Yeah, okay, whatever. And Jonathan will be part of that discussion too. I'm just saying that,
That'll be easy for me to be on. Everybody else is doing stuff. And
yeah, well, maybe
I'm
you and Jonathan. I just want to make sure that we're clear on what the outcomes of the retreat will be to manage expectations, because it's gone from finance to something greater, bigger.
Okay, yeah.
So we have to be just really clear on what we want, and I'm scheduling two sessions. We can always cancel the second. Trying to get the second one calendar later, right? All right, and then the Brown Act on virtual meetings. So I talked to Dawn, and Elise brought that this up, which was great. Elise thinks we may need to bring this back as a vote, but Dawn doesn't think so, but let me just share what this is. So, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, many local public agency boards, including the district's board of directors, which is us, have been allowed to hold fully virtual board meetings during the state of emergency by following the requirements under Assembly Bill 361. However, on October 17, 2022, Governor Newsom announced his intent to withdraw the COVID-19 state of emergency effective February 28, 2023, which is the end of this month, after which agencies will no longer be able to trigger AB 361's remote meeting procedures in reliance on that COVID-19 emergency. This will require all local public agency boards to resume compliance with the Brown Act, which generally requires that all members attend meetings in person at the set locations of those meetings. Therefore, the board, which has already returned to in-person meetings, must continue to hold in-person meetings as of March 2023. We've already started our in-person.
Right.
Although the board, like all Brown Act bodies, must return to in-person meetings as of March 1st, 2023, the legislature recently adopted Assembly Bill, of course they did, 2449, as a transitional measure to assist in the move back to in-person meetings. Its provisions related to meeting attendance will apply once the statewide emergency declaration is lifted on February 28, 2023, and will sunset January 1st, 2026.
Wow.
AB 2449 allows individual board members to participate in meetings remotely during emergency circumstances, such as physical or family medical emergencies, or for just cause, including child care or caregiving needs, contagious illness, a disability, or travel on official agency business. Unlike the traditional teleconference rules that existed prior to COVID-19 pandemic, AB 2449 allows board members to remotely participate without as much pre-planning. The board member's teleconference location does not need to be posted on the meeting notice or the agenda, which is and does not have to be open to the public. However, there are additional requirements that apply when a board member is using the new AP 2449 rule. As mentioned above, the pre-state of emergency rules, as amended by the new rules, apply to all meetings beginning March 1st, 2023. So.
Pre-state emergency
rules. Yeah, John, do you have any other comments? And at least, is that what you understood?
Right, and what I'm seeing and hearing is at all of the city council, board of supervisors, all those public meetings that are happening throughout the county, that they're adopting the new legislation and abandoning the old one, and so that's what I thought we had to vote on. So if Don thinks we don't have to vote and we just are following the legislation, then that's fine.
Can I ask, does this apply to board members only? So we can continue to hold hybrid meetings where participants can join remotely.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, participants can join, the way I understand it, participants can join remotely. So there's always going to be this is where we probably have to vote. We can vote to say, no, we are not going to have participants join remotely. But I like the fact that we can have participants join remotely. I think that's where the nuanced language is are we going to continue to move forward with a hybrid type meeting where people can participate in our meeting remotely? Now, I know somebody, and I can't remember if it was at the Board of Supervisors, and it was out of the county legal, they were saying, yes, participants can, they're going to go with a hybrid, and so participants, but they actually, as a participant, have to always have their camera on. They can't just, it's still, I think that, Don, I think that there's still a lot of ambiguity on that. I mean, so.
We don't know if he's here still. Andrew, is Don still on?
So we have done two Brown Act meetings, board meetings a month,
uh-huh,
as a minimum. We have finance and uh-huh, we have the full board. It seems to not allow for travel per se. So if somebody's out of town, like Texas or Chicago.
You're out of town.
You're out of town.
You just missed the board meeting. Yeah, I mean, that's okay.
You missed the boat.
Well, it does say family medical emergency. So
pardon me?
Does say family medical emergency.
Yeah.
So how?
I mean, if you're seeing your father,
yeah,
that's a family medical. If you're over in Hawaii, who would have this?
Oh, but it's going back out.
Yeah,
there you go.
So going for a specific family
right
reason.
You think you could skirt it up? You could, I mean,
yeah,
not skirt it, but that would.
Yeah, I would have voted Ramona stay home today.
Yeah, me too.
As far as we get.
So this is like, so of course we comply with the new.
We don't have any choice on this. I don't know why we have
to
vote.
The only reason why I inquire is because I want to protect the opportunity for non-board participants to join remotely.
Well, I think that's great.
Yeah, so that's the question.
And that's what it allows.
We don't have to, but the board can say we want to continue with the virtual
hybrid.
The board needs to be in person.
So the community can join.
And you don't have to put your where you're at. If he's in Chicago seeing his father, he doesn't have to put his address in Chicago.
I think that's right.
Well, how does he prove that he's on a, I guess, he doesn't have to prove that he's on like a caregiving need or a.
To
just maybe put in the request for the waiver, whatever.
Waiver.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Is that all, Ramona, or is your report? Upcoming events, anything on that we need to know about?
And newspaper articles of interest, you all see them.
All right, and then we adjourn to the next meeting, March 15th.
All right.
Nicely done, team. Well, at least it's not 10:30 at night.